Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, hour two on this Wednesday morning. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Yes, indeed, news that you can use. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I want to remind you, our weather today is going to get up into the high 50s, overnight low 35 degrees. Right now at the KSLM studio, 49 degrees. It's 8:06 in the morning, and we're having a great conversation. I'm excited over the next week or so as we move towards the election. We're really blessed to connect with friends and our elected leaders right here in the community. We're really fortunate to have so many of our elected leaders who are in touch with the constituents, who are accessible, who are really to be in the trenches and fighting for the things that are important to us. And as friends and constituents, it's important that we communicate to our elected leaders the things that are important to us and why they are representing us is really to serve us, not us serve them in a sense. And moving to Oregon from South Dakota, of course, I'm from Oregon, and it was really important to me to kind of get engaged early on when I moved here in January. One of the very first political things I did is I went to a political coffee. Now, this wasn't just any particular political coffee because I happened to know the senator, went to high school with her. And in fact, if you've listened to the show this morning over the last few months, you know I've talked about this particular person because she's one of my favorite. Yep. I'm going to just tell you right now, I definitely endorse her. And she is here in the studio with me. It's my friend, Senator Denise Bowles. And Senator, I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Stacey. It's awesome to be here with you.
I'm telling you, you've been on the show before via phone when we were in a session and you were given some clarity on some things that were going on the first of the year. And I was so impressed. You and I, we haven't seen each other in years, and I come to your advertising that you're doing this political coffee, and I just show up, right? And it was such a neat experience for me to watch you all these years later, you know, out of high school and out of college, and a mom, and having a family, and being involved in the community. And you and I, we've been friends on Facebook, and we've connected at reunions and things like that, but just to watch you in your element and to see you work with your constituents that are on both sides of the aisle and how you handle that with such respect and such, you're a good listener, you're present with people. These are all things that I look for in an elected leader, and I'm very proud of you.
Well, thank you. You know, Stacey, it's funny when you mentioned, I remember our 10-year high school reunion. And I had just had my first child, so Maggie was about 4 or 5 months, and I'd left her with my sister and brother-in-law. And you had come in for you were living in South Dakota mm-hmm. at the time. And I vividly recall leaving that going, Stacy's political. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really cool. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there's, especially, you know, when you come out of high school and being a activist, female. Mm-hmm. That was, I don't want to date us, but that was a good 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I just remember how much fun it was. I remember having fun talking to you and hearing about politics in South Dakota and how that compared to mm-hmm. Oregon. And then we had the shared experience of being Spray graduates. So
Yay.
It was fun.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And I've said this before, and our listeners know that when I was away in South Dakota and I tell people I was from Oregon, they're like, you were from Oregon? You're all conservative and such, you know? And it's like, oh yeah, Oregon, you know, we are the silent, I believe, silent majority. And I think people are getting bolder and braver to talk about the issues that are important, right? And so you decided after all these years to run, and you started out as a representative. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I've been engaged in bringing people together in this community for most of my adult life. Mm-hmm. I've worked on campaigns. I've worked in the legislature. I've advocated for different organizations. I currently do community benefit and community relations work for Salem Health. And so I've been there for 5 years. And I can't, there's a number of things that came together for me, but I just wanted to have a voice to represent this community and be able to bring people to the table and get things done. And there was an opportunity and I just decided to take it. And so I threw my hat in a little over 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I ran in the 2018 election, won my first election as a state representative for House District 19. And I know that you had my friend Representative Yes. Mark Green on earlier today. And she and I have known each other for probably over 20 years. Mm-hmm. I met her when my kids were really little. She was involved in a charter school movement and trying to, you know, figure out for middle school. I think it was middle school. And I was interested in just, I think parents should have opportunities to decide what's, you know, the best way to educate your kids. And mm-hmm. so we had met there and it's continued a friendship for that long. So it's fun to serve with her in the legislature.
Well, and what a great team you make. I heard last week or just recently we're doing sign waving together mm-hmm. on a campaign and to encourage one another. I think that's really important. So you're a representative mm-hmm. and you were serving and I remember you went through an election cycle and mm-hmm. all of that because I watched that from South yeah. Dakota, or actually at the time I was in Arkansas. And then you we had the loss of Senator Winters yeah. and then there was the mm-hmm. door open to potentially represent on the Senate side. Talk to us a little bit about
sure.
that.
You know, Senator Winters had been a senator in this area for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say nearly 20 years. And she started as a representative and then ran for the Senate. I helped her on her campaigns. Mm-hmm. She was a friend and a mentor and really an indomitable spirit.
Yes.
And I don't think anyone expected her not to pull out of her health issues mm-hmm. that she was having towards the end of the legislative session in 2019. I mean, honestly, because she just seemed... she always did. I mean, mm-hmm. she had the most energized and committed spirit of anyone I think I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, at the end of May, unfortunately, she lost her fight with cancer. Mm. And so in Oregon, you have about, it's a 30-day process. You have to replace a vacant seat within 30 days. And there's, and I know you guys talked a little bit about it with Rep. Moore Green, but there's some steps there. You have to go before the precinct people. Mm-hmm. In this case, we have two counties, Polk and Marion County. So there are six county commissioners involved. And so it's a several step process. And honestly, initially, I was not going to put my name forward. Mm-hmm. I knew the kind of race this was going to be. I knew that it was going, It was just a hard decision to make at the time because I was still grieving the loss of my friend. And,
right.
In session had been really difficult being in the super minority. And it was a lot. And I remember sitting, many people encouraged me. I was sitting, and it had to be replaced with a Republican because Senator Winters was a Republican. And I was sitting, and I'm so thankful for this memory because mm-hmm. it's been a tough year and a half. But I was sitting on the deck with my husband. And we had talked about it as a family, and I needed to make a decision if I was going to put my name forward or not. And we weren't even talking about it, but we were sitting there, and he looked over at me. And this is in June, and mm-hmm. he says, "You know, you have to do this, right?" Mm. And I said, "Yeah." And the decision was made.
Wow.
And the reason that I decided ultimately was I knew the kind of race this was going to be. I knew the kind of fighter that I am mm-hmm. and that the people of this community deserve to have someone that was not going to take this for granted, that wasn't going to act like this was some sort of entitled position that I get to have, that was going to seriously listen and fight for their issues and fight for their vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I've needed every ounce of that fight and that strong-willed child that was very difficult for my mother to raise in order to just persevere and walk through this race, because I have been surprised by the lack of truth that seems to be involved in a campaign. And I'm surprised, but the level of things that I've had to battle have been a little bit unprecedented.
It's very interesting. I think back on some times similar that I've walked through in my life. back in South Dakota. And when people stir up trouble or they create it out of thin air, try to attach you to it, that's very disheartening. And you just have to keep moving ahead and know who you are and whose you are and that calling that you have on your life. And you've done that so very well. And I have to say to your husband, what a great champion he is, and your family. And this has really been a family thing, hasn't it?
You know, it absolutely has. And that's, you know, we have a phrase around our house, and I've used it on the campaign trail, and I bring other people in it, but, you know, it's team bowls. Everything is about, you know, I have three children. I've been married for 26 years, and we show up for each other, and we're all involved in each other's lives, and it's a great place. It's a great launching place, and my husband is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, if every woman had this kind of support behind them, I hope that they do, because I'm going to figure out dinner, I'm in charge of laundry. I mean, he does everything to try to support what I'm doing, and it is an incredible feeling to be loved that way.
Yes, it is. And you guys represent well. And that's the kind of leadership that people need in the state house. They need someone who's committed to one another as a family, but also willing to go that extra mile. And you've been able to do that. Talk to us a little bit about the district. Now, if people are new to the area like I am, new back to the area, maybe they don't know quite the district that you're in. It's the 10th district.
Sure.
Where are you geographically?
So it encompasses House District 19, which is Almsville, Turner, portions of South Salem, East Salem, Marion County, and then it crosses into House District 20, which crosses into West Salem, more of South Salem, and Independence, Monmouth, and some farmland between those two communities. So it is very much a suburban rural district, mostly suburban, and with the farmland in between. So it's a wonderful community, wonderful people. I mean, this is my home. This is where I grew up. These are my people, and I am theirs.
I love the fact, I've heard you say, too, a lot of times, our Oregon or my Oregon, you know, that these aren't our Oregon values or things, you know, that you really are standing strong for a state and a future that, even with the pandemic and all the things that we walked through in this last little season, we'll get around to that here in this next segment, that you continue to put forth an agenda of hope. And I appreciate that about you, because I think in this time, in this day and age, it's so easy to look at the negative, right, and curse the darkness. But we need to be hope-filled, and you do that. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
And as we go into break here, I want to remind our listeners that you have an opportunity to get involved and get engaged in these campaigns. Our candidates need our support. We need to help them with our time, treasure, and talent. They're taking that bold step to be that person, that upfront person, but they couldn't do it without us. And so it's important that we listen to them today, and we share with our friends and family their agenda, their hope, what they're doing to make a difference here in Oregon. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. In fact, right now, why don't you go on Facebook? Let people know at KSLM.news. This interview is streaming, or they can listen 1220 AM or 104.3 FM. KSLM News Talk Radio. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Wednesday. Want to go through a few things on the community calendar. Don't forget, 40 Days for Life is going on right now, and there's prayer vigil going on from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Planned Parenthood, and there's still opportunity for you to get engaged and get involved. Go to 40daysforlife.com/Salem, and that's going on until November 1st, and then there's an opportunity also to get involved with Kicking Cancer. They're having a golf-a-thon, and they've talked me into being a participant in a fundraiser as well. I'm excited about that, although I'm not much of a golfer, but I do believe that we'll have a lot of fun. And if you want to enjoy being a part of the Stacey Ann team, that would be all right. Go to kicking-cancer.org /golfathon. And then the Pregnancy Center, Hope Pregnancy Center, on November 14th is having their fundraiser. We'll get more details on that coming up. And I don't know, Denise, you know, the area that we lived in and where we went, I got Senator Bowles here in the studio. Denise Bowles, she's a classmate of mine. So, you know, I should be more honorable, Senator. But it's like she's Denise to me, you know. We lived on that side of town where there was a famous golf course, right? You know, yeah. Illihee over there, and riding the bus home from school, we'd always go by there, and I'm like, oh, the golf course, you know, I wonder what it's like to golf, and I just haven't ever taken it up. And I live near a golf course. You know, you'd think I'd do that. Have you ever golfed?
I'm not a golfer, but I've put it on my list for next summer.
Good.
Because, you know, now that we're empty nesting and looking for, my husband's a golfer, although he hasn't golfed as much just because, you know, family and kids and sports and life. But I don't know if I like it or not, but I'm going to give it a shot.
You know, the place in golfing that I see myself in is driving the cart.
Yes.
That looks like fun to me. I don't know, maybe because I like ride motorcycles and things. So that's something that you have looking forward to, right? One of the words that describes you in my mind as we continue the conversation today about being a senator and being in the state house in not so easy times. I mean, just in general, because there's a super majority on the other side, and it makes it very challenging to represent your constituents in a way that they're getting heard, right? And we talked about that a little bit last hour in regards to hearings and being able to be effective, because you don't have you're elected, you're a Republican, but you don't have a place at the table. That's got to be extremely difficult to represent in those situations. But what I love about you, and the word that I describe you have grit. You really do. You are strong, and I see your bipartisan effectiveness. Mm-hmm. You really do listen to all sides, and you take the information and make the best decision. Talk to us a little bit about, and talk to that non-affiliated voter, or maybe the Democrat that's listening going, you know, I why should I support her? She's a quote-unquote Republican. Talk to us about that.
Well, I, interestingly, am one of two Republican women in the Senate, and that's been an interesting experience because I just really don't look at life. I was raised by a lot of really strong women, and I was a single mom. My mom was a single mom for much of my life, and so I've never had this idea that I couldn't just do whatever I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's been valuable to me because I've just forged into places where maybe people may or may not want me there. When I got to the House in 2018 the 2019 session, we're in the super minority. And for those who don't understand what that means is that you need 36 votes in the House to pass a tax mm-hmm. revenue raising bill. In theory, they've worked around that in some ways that I find unconstitutional, but that's another conversation for another day. In the Senate, it is 18. So when you have that majority where you don't have to need, and there's a few other things that you need to have 36 or 40 mm-hmm. Votes in order to move legislation. But when you've taken away that negotiating power for the minority party, there is really not, you don't really have any tools. But I kind of naively showed up thinking, you know, I am a reasonable person. Mm-hmm. I am good. I make good relationships. I have a lot of relationships already in the building, in the Capitol, referred to it as a building a lot. And this, you know, there's a lot of things we can agree on. Mm-hmm. We can work towards foster care. We can deal with stuff around mental health. We can, you know, there's a lot of issues out there that are bipartisan. The trouble that I found was that because of the supermajority, even the process itself is somewhat rigged, quite honestly. And I had experiences sitting in committees where I wasn't allowed to ask questions, where my line of questioning was shut down, being dismissed, being—and I'm not the only one. It had happened across—and I really was shocked. because, I mean, I had won an election.
Right.
I represented over 60,000 people, and I went there to represent them. So I actually have a little bit of a floor speech. It might have been my first real floor speech after in probably the 1st of February, maybe right at the end of January, where I pretty much put the body on notice that I will represent this community. I will not be shut down or dismissed. And we're going to move forward. And honestly, the Speaker of the House was in my office within about 30 seconds
Good.
After that, asked me what happened. And she knew what happened because I had already gone through, this is not appropriate. Someone needs to talk to the committee chair. We need mm-hmm. to be able to have this process. But there is a number of us in the House, and ironically, women who pushed back on this pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to a place. But I was really quite stunned to the level of, maybe I might get invited to a table as long as I don't talk.
Mm.
And so the power differential is very real. And it doesn't matter how accommodating, how hard you work on relationships, all the things that you would do to try to
build bridges,
mm-hmm. I believe is incumbent on the majority party, the party in power, to create an atmosphere where ideas can be heard and listened to. And that is not what happened. And that's why you got the breakdown, by the long session or the short session here, 2020, where we're debating issues around, cap and trade and jobs and the impact it was going to have. And it was, the attitude is just sit down, shut up, and we're going to do what we want to do. And so you had a complete breakdown in this process and an abuse of power to a level I have never seen in my lifetime.
Well, in a sense, it forecasts what has happened, I believe, through this pandemic. And I think it's been exposed in a sense where so many decisions are made and shoved into the general community without insight and hearing our voices as constituents in a bigger way when we talk about how these decisions have been made to lock everybody down. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, having a great discussion with Senator Bowles this morning about what's happening here in Oregon and her candidacy for senator for the next few years. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and we're enjoying a wonderful hour two on this Wednesday morning. It's 8:36, and I want to say thanks to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you in your real estate needs. And boy, is it a time and a season to be looking at real estate. I'm encouraging you, if you are thinking about downsizing or maybe trading and getting something a little bigger, I know that the interest rates are incredible right now. And I encourage you to get a hold of Dave and Paige Smith and let them assist you. 503-939-7099. We're continuing the conversation this morning. I've got my friend, Senator Denise Bowles, in the studio with me, and she represents the 10th District here in Oregon. And, there's something here that I want to share, Denise, and I think this is so adequate and more than adequate because it describes you. It's Denise is a tireless advocate for our community. I'm grateful for her leadership, hard work, and compassion in these difficult times. And that's from Marion County Commissioner Kevin Cameron. And I couldn't agree more. When I think about going through the things that we've gone through with the pandemic and the fires and just the hard issues in regards to the laws that are being, in a sense, shoved down our throats, in a sense, here in Oregon in regards to taxation and things. We've got some difficult waters to get through the first of next year, as if we haven't already this year. Campaigning in this type of culture is got to be extremely challenging. And knowing you as all these years, in fact, I wrote a letter to the editor on your behalf, and I don't even know if it got printed yet, but it should have maybe last week or whatever. And knowing you all these years, knowing that you are the same person, you are a tireless advocate for everybody. I love that about you. And it's hard for me, I have to say, It's very difficult when I hear, when I see these attack ads and these false claims coming at you. And here I am, we're watching a YouTube video and all of a sudden this thing pops up and I'm thinking, what in the world? Who is this woman making these false claims about my friend? It's like the mama bear comes out of me and I'm like, oh, Lord. And so let's talk to me a little bit and tell our listeners about this campaign season and let's hit some of these false claims head on. How's that?
Well, sure. Campaigning, as you know, is all about presenting yourself as, you know, and convincing people to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and like I said earlier, I knew this was going to be a hard campaign and we were going to fight. It's hand-to-hand combat. I mean, it really is. It is not for the faint of heart. And you have to be pretty thick-skinned. And fortunately, I have, again, a great family, great friends. I know who I am. I know what I believe in. I know what I'm about. Being a senator is important, and I'm privileged to be able to serve Oregon in this way. But it doesn't define who I am.
Right.
And but the thing that actually struck me that I wasn't prepared for was when the first hit ad came out that was literally within days of the fire that mm-hmm. devastated the canyon across the state of Oregon in this community. And we're raw. I mean, it is
right.
It is tender. We have friends that lost lives, that lost businesses, that their houses burned to the ground. We were getting threats in the legislature as senators for blaming, you know, as far as the forest fire. So anyway, this ad comes out, and I'm sure most of your listeners had seen it, but basically talks about three things. Talks about how I'm to blame for the forest fire.
Oh.
And it based it on this piece of legislation that did not pass in the short session. And the legislation itself was basically a work group that the recommendations wouldn't even be finalized or taken place until the middle of 2021. So it had nothing to do with the fire. If it would have passed, it would not have affected the fire at all. But because that didn't pass, somehow I am to blame for the whole state burning down. So we have that. And there's just this very graphic fire behind me and the superimposed. That was a flat-out lie and so wrong at a time where our community was so wounded. I'm not going to forget that anytime soon.
Right.
I mean, I can move past a lot of things, but that was really ugly. And then to also blame me for the unemployment debacle, which is somewhat multifaceted, but really based upon the fact that our IT system is so antiquated and there was mm-hmm. money that had been set aside to improve that 10 years ago, and
right.
it still hasn't happened. And so now, fast forward, we're in a crisis. My office has helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people access their unemployment. I've worked tirelessly on behalf of that and pushed back on the governor and in different things and just trying to figure out ways to have that agency be more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked on that. And then I'm, I deny science. That's right. And that's all based. And there's a new ad out that says I also don't believe in vaccines, which, again, is not true. My kids have been vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. You know, mm-hmm. I just don't believe in mandates. Mm-hmm. I believe that people need to make good healthcare decisions. And that bill by itself we never were able to mitigate it to a place where you had the ability to make decisions. If you had a child who had some health issues that maybe needed to have an alternate schedule, mm-hmm. needed to have different things. I mean, that is your job as a parent in order to help your child have good health. And so that's a whole nother conversation. But anyway, and it just keeps going. And it does not matter what I voted on, what I didn't vote on. Again, how bipartisan I approach things. There's a narrative that there has been written about me, and whether it's true or not, that's what everyone's experiencing in the campaign. So, again, the good Reverend Dr. Patterson, I was offended.
Mm.
Not daunted. It's fine. It's just wrong.
Yes. And when I found out that this was a good Reverend Doctor, and I was appalled. You know, my experience and years having been on the front lines, working in ministry, working with people compassionately, I was appalled that this would even be a value to look at things this way, and that she would accept that. And so I'm excited for you, and I love the fact that you're moving ahead. ahead, looking ahead. But I do think it's important that the listeners know that how crazy, it's almost like Disneyland, making it up, make-believe, fiction. You know, this is no ounce of truthfulness whatsoever. And I think it's important that our listeners know that.
People tell me, they'll say, you know, well, they're not going to make things up. I didn't vote on that or I voted on that. But it has been my experience. And so you just, you know, again, you figure it out and you continue your path and your message and kept connecting to voters. And I know this community, and I know that the extreme left wing portion of the Democrat Party, which is what my opponent aligns with, is not representational of Marion Polk counties. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are a community that needs good schools, want to have kids have education and opportunity, cost of living, and our jobs are important, and we'd love to go to, you know, to a Little League game.
Yes.
I mean, we're not a super politically edgy community.
No.
We just want people to be respected. We want to be respected and have an opportunity to live our lives and raise our families.
Everything
that's what
we've
I'm
learned
do.
In kindergarten, right? Respect your other people's stuff and keep your hands off and do your right thing, you know, for yourself. And I think it's important that we, as listeners and as a community here, that we get behind candidates who are going to represent who we are. And again, I've said voting our values. You know, where are our values? What's important to you, friends? And it's important that we talk and have these conversations around the water cooler. Of course, a lot of people they're working from home these days. On your Zoom meetings, on your Facebook pages, things like that, to say why you're voting for who you're voting and share. How can people share? Do you have like a Facebook page and a website that has some of your ads and some of your information that kind of dispel some of these myths?
Sure. My website is voteforbowles.com, and it's the number four. So VOTE number four, BOLES.com. You can always email me at denise@voteforbowles.com. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook, a little bit on Twitter. I will get your messages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really inundated. I'm getting a lot of stuff. I'm a little behind, and I'm trying to keep my eyes on the prize, but at the same time, people have gotten super mean and snarky, and I was like, yeah, I don't need to dwell in this.
Yeah.
But it is an opportunity for you to be able to get a little bit more about me, and my phone number is there. I answer my phone. So,
I mean,
I don't, it's because I'm on another call or I'm in a meeting. But leave a message, I'll get back to you.
I love how accessible you are, and your team is delightful to work with. And I think it's important that people look at their voter pamphlet. I think it's pretty clear when you look in your pamphlet at the two candidates for state Senate in District 10. And in a time like this, when we are walking through and kind of getting through the pandemic, the wildfire recovery, and all of that, it makes sense to have leadership that understands what the real values and what's going on and what we're facing. And I'm excited to support Denise Bowles for our senator in the 10th district. As we move forward, Denise, when we look about next January in the session, and this will be a longer session, which you define a little bit, what's the idea? How many days? I don't even know. What's a longer session? How does that work?
The long session is roughly 5 months, and and that's where the budget is determined for the next 2 years, and that's the big work that is done, and plus, you know, major policy issues. The short session, which is around 35 days in the off years, was sold in theory to the people to be able to do small, you know, to do budget fixes and small policy things. That is not how that's played out. It's turned into a 30-day sprint of major policy conversations, and where you really don't have the opportunity to vet them, similar to what we went through in the special sessions this summer. You come in for a day. I mean, that is really not, you're not going to get good policy out of that. You're doing things to be able to address maybe something that's happening right now, which is important, but it's been, I think, co-opted to a place that it was never intended to be. But the long session is where the bulk of things are going to take place, and that's what we're going to be doing here next year. It's still a little bit in question as to how that's going to transpire in COVID, but we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back.
Happy good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. And get a hold of Bill for any of your insurance needs or financial planning needs at 503-885-0789, sunderlandagency.com. Continuing the conversation this morning with Senator Bowles, as we look at kind of this election and this time that we're walking through right now. I know it seems like we start making a plan, and I joke a little bit about the worst use of money this year is buying a day planner, right? Because when we start thinking, and it's been interesting, because I have this thing I say, I like to undercommit and over, you know, and over deliver in a sense. And it's hard to make plans because it could change suddenly, or the rules will change and it's shifting. And I know I'm not alone with this. And my heart goes out to all the families that are dealing with distant learning and trying to help their kids and working from home, and all the business owners. It's just been a real season. But the reality is, time keeps moving forward. And right now, as of right now, nothing's changed. Session's supposed to start again in January. And as you move ahead and the things that are important to you, Senator Bowles, what do you see happening in January? What are some things that are important to you to see move forward?
Well, I've always said that my priorities are the priorities of my community. And so as we have really shifted in this last 7-8 months, mm-hmm. And that's going to continue to go forward. I mean, the things that I'm seeing that I'm going to be spending time on is, first of all, education, and looking at our kids and the delivery of education. And I think everyone, you know, the teachers and are doing an amazing job, and parents are doing an amazing job. It has been hard for everyone.
Yes.
And I don't think we're having the success and the metrics that we would like to see for our students. And I don't think it's acceptable to put out there that they're going to lose a year of education. Mm. I mean, you know, there's too many people that were already at risk. And I would love to see some conversations where we have more regional control over decisions made by local school districts, and where you have communities coming together and looking for solutions. And at the very least, looking at our high-risk kids and pairing them with our low-risk teachers, mm-hmm. and figuring out a way to have a better connectivity there. And so those types of conversations, I just don't think we're having. I hope that we get to, and just really providing some supports to families that are trying to, you know, teach their kids and do their jobs. And I mean, all the other things that have been hard, and this doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. So we're going to have some hard chats about what does this structure look like going forward for the rest of this year. And then really our revenue and looking at jobs and how do we get people back to work? How do we get our economy started? You know, what I've been frustrated this past several months is, yes, we have this global pandemic, and it is tough and it is unexpected, and no one knows exactly what specifically we need to be doing, because no one has ever done this before. But we need to be looking for solutions instead of just looking at all the barriers. And there are ways that we can do things safely and take best practices and what the CDC says and align it with science. And I just think that some of the things that the governor is doing, it actually doesn't align with science. You know, when you have an arbitrary number where you can only have 100 people, you know, in a space, well, if you're in the Moda Center, you can have more than 100 people,
right?
In order to have the distancing and the masks and all the things. And so, you know, I've been getting a lot of emails from people who go to the gym and restaurants that are trying to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. And I think we can look at some policies that meet some of those needs, as well as keep the safety of the community at the forefront, because that's important.
One of the things I'd like to see addressed that I think is, and I talked about this with Raquel last hour, is that in the numbers from OHA, it tells us our daily count, but it doesn't tell us the actual confirmed cases. It throws in there the presumables. And what it has done, I think, it undermines the real folks look at that and they're like, well, they're not even being honest about how many they say 300, but is it 10? Is it 20 that really are confirmed? And I encourage people to look at the hospitalization rates, look at, you know, how many people are on ventilators in the state. You know, we don't even find out who survived. You know, the numbers are very vague. And I don't know if that's something that you as an elected leader can maybe potentially ask for how those numbers are coming out to the public. But I think it's very confusing to individuals.
Yeah. And I do ask these questions often, and mm-hmm. I've asked them to the Oregon Health Authority, and, you know, a number of us have, you know, show us the science. What are you looking at? You know, trying to understand so we can support, you know, the policies. And I've been stonewalled, surprisingly. And so I'm looking forward to having some hearings where we can actually get to the root of things and be able to make policies that keep people healthy and safe, but also don't completely decimate the state of Oregon's economy. So,
and I love that because you're the ones that are talking to the constituents, not OHA. Mm-hmm. You're the ones that are getting the phone calls. You're getting the questions. And so you're doing your part to try to get answers from them. And I think I just heard you say you're getting stonewalled. You're not getting the information that you need. So as an elected official, when you get back to session, these are things that you'll be able to do, right? Any particular legislation specifically that you want to address? Or, I mean, everything's kind of up in the air because it's like, what's urgent?
Yeah, right? I mean, again, things that are going to help the people who drive our economy, mm-hmm. Certainly have, things around mental health. And I heard Raquel Moore Green talk about this, and it's really becoming a major issue between the isolation and then the fear of the fire and the trauma of that that this community experienced. We have several traumas,
yes.
And we need to start really looking at how we're going to maybe look at a different way of reaching people. So there's things around that in the integration of physical and mental health, and again, back to providing some relief to our businesses in order to keep them going, as well as families and helping their kids be educated. I think those are right now seem to be the top issues.
I agree.
And so we'll look at those, and hopefully nothing new, knock on wood here,
right,
in these next couple of months. But, you know, right now we're just trying to figure out how is session going to meet.
Yeah.
Because it's been closed. The Capitol's been closed, and even public testimony has been limited. And those are really things that concern me, that we cannot legislate in the dark like we have been. And we need to figure out a way that people can have access to their legislators and access to the Capitol, again, in a way that is safe and reasonable in the times we're in.
After all, it is the people's house, right?
It's
so important. What committees do you serve on currently?
I'm on full Ways and Means. I'm on Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee. And Ways and Means is a budget writing committee for the legislature, for the state. It's a new committee for me, so I'm still a newbie, but I am enjoying it because where you place your money is the priorities of the people in the state of Oregon. I also am on the housing, and I'm vice chair of housing, vice chair of mental health. I'm on the I-5 bridge. I'm on the Capital Conduct Committee. I'm on a lot of committees.
That's awesome.
I'm on a lot of task forces on early child development and mental health. So, I mean, I have my fingers in a lot of things, and it's interesting. I love that. I love at this stage of my life that I'm learning new things every day.
And you are the common sense we need at the table on all of those committees and moving forward, the senator that we need moving forward for Oregon through these uncertain times. Thank you again. Give us your website.
That's my email. It's voteforbowls.com. So you can find me there. Find me on Facebook.
Find her on Facebook and do what you can, friends, to get involved in her campaign, Time, Treasure, and Talent. Give today, give of your time, give of your finances. Let's see her become, again, our senator here in Oregon. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. This interview will be up on our website here later this afternoon. Share it with your friends and family and encourage them to vote for Senator Bowles. Have a wonderful day. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a great day.